Welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amberlynn. I teach women how to take back their brain from anxious attachment patterns with love and compassion. It is my mission to help every anxiously attached woman understand their brain, stop the anxious cycle, and finally feel confident and secure in who they are so they can live the life they want. I'm so glad you're here with me
today. Hello, and welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amberlynn. Thank you for joining me today. A lot of us have anxious attachment as a result of our childhoods. Even with the most well-intended parents, it can happen. Emotional needs of children go unmet or are inconsistent enough for a child to create anxious attachment. So they develop strategies rooted in hypervigilance, clinginess, emotional intensity, and fear of abandonment to survive. Today I'm going to be talking about some of our needs that may have gone unmet when we were children and how those unmet needs created beliefs and nervous system responses that are now creating more challenges than solutions in our relationships and what we can do to heal those wounds and rewire our brain responses to get the relationships that we want. Throughout the podcast, you will learn how to meet the inner child within you and learn to love her and give her what you need now to create safety, nurture self-compassion, and create unconditional love. To me, it is helpful when I understand what is going on in the background of my brain and why I do what I do, why I have the reactions I have. It helps me create empathy, curiosity, and compassion for myself instead of my usual judgment. So I hope this helps you to show up for yourself with empathy, curiosity, and compassion. Most often, we with anxious attachment as children have learned to adapt to our environment, pick up on subtle cues, body language, tone, shift in moods and emotions, and adapt, adjust, and become what our environments need us to be, our parents needed us to be, or our home needed us to be, our partners need us to be. Our brain has developed a strong muscle for scanning the environment for danger, quote, danger, so that it is ready to jump into action and become what we need to survive in those environments. This has created hypervigilance, the hum of anxiety that runs behind the scene, the walking on eggshells, the need to do what people expect of us or need from us, the need to make other people feel comfortable at the expense of our own comfortability, the need to do what it will get us liked or accepted. The early development of people-pleasing, what I like to call people-manipulating, because we are not trying to people-please or please people when we do what they want us to do. What we are really doing is trying to avoid our own uncomfortable emotions and feelings that we would feel if we told someone something they didn't want to hear and it hurt their feelings, disappointed them, or make them feel some way. We don't want to feel the feelings of, quote, causing other people's feelings. So we learn to do what other people need. We do it before they even ask for our help. We expend all of our energy and effort on other people, and then we wonder why we are exhausted and depleted. Keep in mind, this may look different for everyone. I am just sharing my stories and what I have learned about anxious attachment. I know we don't all like to go back to our childhood and visit, so I won't make you. I just want you to understand that as adults with anxious attachment, we, as children, experience things that are the root of our current beliefs, our current brain wirings, and our current nervous system responses. We experience relationships, situations with adults that were inconsistent enough that it developed an uncertainty in ourselves, along with a set of anxious beliefs and nervous system responses that are stopping us from having the relationship we want. As a child, we learned that our emotions were too big, our needs were too much, and that when we asked for what we wanted, needed, it would be unmet or seen as a problem or it hurt other people, and that was really uncomfortable for us. Our brain took it as we are not safe when things happen. So we did what our brain told us was safer. We learned to take care of others. We took care of their needs, handled things well. We were mature for our age, got good grades, did what was asked, which was reinforced with love, attention, affection, and appreciation. So our brain was like, this is safe. This will protect us. We felt safer when we were taking care of other people, doing what others needed us to do. For some of us, the inconsistency of love, attention, understanding, limited or lack of repair, the inability to depend on someone consistently enough for what we needed, created us to have insecure beliefs about love. We learned we cannot depend on love. We could not depend on attention being consistent, and we could not depend on being understood. So we now have beliefs like love comes and goes. Nervous system response. Our nervous system keeps bracing for abandonment. What we need as adults is consistency in our relationships and consistency within ourselves. We have to learn how to develop genuine, consistent connection with ourselves and our partner. We have to learn how to develop consistent communication, develop relationship stability through learning how to understand where we are coming from, accept ourselves, and learn how to communicate our needs and our conflicts while self-regulating. When we do this, it helps our nervous system stop bracing for abandonment because we slowly teach it that we can be there for ourselves. We can hold mental and emotional safe for ourselves that sometimes was lacking in our childhood. We can build that secure base inside of ourselves by showing up for ourselves, learning how to communicate through the dysregulation, processing emotions, and communicating clearly. We do this by working with the belief that love can come and stay. We can love ourselves and stay with ourselves during dysregulation. We can stay with ourselves and comfort ourselves throughout the distress. When we do this, we rebuild trust with ourselves. We develop the belief that love can be consistent. I can create a love that is consistent and safe within myself and with my partner. As children, we experienced emotional attunement. We learned early that our emotions were a problem. As children, we experienced emotional unattunement. We learned early that our emotions were a problem. They were not seen as valid. They were ignored or categorized as too much. Our emotions overwhelmed others, so we felt emotionally abandoned. Since we experienced love, affection, and attention being seen inconsistently or not enough as we needed, we may have developed the belief that we are a burden. We felt like something was wrong with us. We didn't feel loved for who we were. So now we have beliefs like, I am too much. I can't handle my emotions. Other people can't handle my emotions. The nervous system keeps bracing for emotional abandonment from ourselves and others. The fear stays in our nervous system. What we need as adults is emotional attunement for ourselves and from our partner. First, from ourselves. We teach others how they show up for us by doing it for ourselves first. We have to practice showing ourselves true compassion, empathy, and understanding when we get triggered, when our brain starts overthinking, catastrophizing. Instead of getting upset at ourselves, instead of wishing we were different, instead of criticizing ourselves, which is all self-abandonment, we need to learn how to show up for ourselves and show ourselves compassion. We need to know that our feelings are valid. We need to comfort ourselves with warmth and nurturing words, dropping the self-judgment and shame for our emotional responses. Yep, even the ones we don't want to have. Even the ones caused by our anxious attachment, even the ones we know are crazy, they are still valid because we have anxious attachment. You don't have to believe the thoughts or story that created the emotion, but you can still validate the emotion you are feeling in your body without taking action. Our inner child needs us to stop minimizing our emotions, ignoring them, compartmentalizing them, or thinking they are too much. Our inner child needs to know, hey, I see you, I hear you, I am here for you, I can handle this, we are safe. We do this by working with the belief, my emotions make sense. I'm not wrong for feeling this. I can handle my emotions. My emotions are safe with me. nervous system response to the new belief. Your nervous system learns that you will not emotionally abandon yourself. Your nervous system learns that this is no longer an alarm of danger when we feel uncertain. Yet it's just uncomfortable. But it's safe to feel these uncomfortable emotions. As children, we lived in environments where our nervous system, for whatever reason, didn't feel safe to practice our independence. We may not have consistently received soothing responses when we express distress, discomfort, fear. So our nervous system learned that only sometimes does someone respond. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they are warm and fuzzy. Sometimes they are dismissive. Sometimes they are overwhelmed and short. Sometimes they understand, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they ignore, shame, or withdraw. So our nervous system learned the belief, I can't count on comfort. I must stay alert. I must cling. I must manage emotions alone. But I don't know how. The nervous system response, creating a chronic state of survival mode, distress, fear, panic, clinging, instead of distress, safety, soothing, regulation. This is why feelings and emotional independence feel so hard for us with anxious attachment. Our nervous system is missing the safety comes first part. We were not taught how to co-regulate, let alone regulate ourselves. What we need as adults is room for self-reassurance before self-regulating. Learning to hold space for your emotions without making it mean something is wrong with you, that you are crazy, and that this is always going to be like this. Learning how to hold space for your emotions with compassion and empathy. And if you're lucky, a partner who can learn a little bit about your brain and nervous system, who could give a nod of reassurance or a word for reassurance before asking for regulation. As adults, we need to learn to feel and process our emotions and then ground ourselves back to the present. This is what I teach my clients through thought work, through the power of the pause, the secure method. Our body and our brain has to learn that emotions are safe in our body. Emotions don't have to be such life and death signals. We have to develop the self-trust, the self-safety before we can ask ourselves to be self-reliant and self-regulate. We do this by working with the belief, I am safe. My emotions are safe in my body. I can feel these emotions and then regulate. It is okay to create safety before solving this problem, conflict, or trigger. There is no rush to solve this right now. The nervous system responds to the new belief. Your nervous system learns that you are safe and you are creating safety within yourself for your emotions. Your body and brain learn how to have its own back and that they are safe with you. They learn that you will help it regulate. Somewhere along the way, we learned we have to be, quote, good to be loved. Definition of good, probably different depending on the situation, the parents, the family dynamics. We learned that connection is fragile and people leave. We were raised to scan, guess, and interpret moods because communication was inconsistent. We confuse boundaries with abandonment, which shows up and affects us in our adult relationships because we have the belief that love is earned. It affects how we show up daily, how we show up in conflict, and how we feel the need to perform and people please and make other people happy at the expense of ourselves, creating a whole other set of challenges. So now we have beliefs like, I have to be perfect. Love has to be earned through action. I have to be perfect in order for someone to love me. No one will ever love me because I can't be perfect enough. I can't be loved or be enough because I make mistakes. Nervous system response to this is it creates a lot of added pressure, stress, and overwhelm to our nervous system. Small problems happen and our nervous system is hijacked and we have an anxious attachment reaction in our body. Any mistake or judgment feels so heavy and unsolvable. As adults, what our body needs is to know that We do not have to be perfect to earn somebody's love. We cannot earn other people's love. We do this by working on the belief love is not fragile. Connection is not fragile. It is not easily broken by misunderstandings, miscommunications. Love and connection can endure. Nervous system response to the new belief. Mistakes and problems don't create so much pressure in our bodies and our minds. We learn that it is more than okay to be human. So the fear of abandonment, the fear of rejection, dials down. The intensity is less on our nervous system. As adults, we learn that we will never be perfect and we will never be able to do enough for our anxious, attached brain to feel good enough. And that is okay, because we don't have to convince our anxious attachment. We just have to convince ourselves. We just have to already know. So we can talk back to our anxious brain. We can know that our anxious attachment is not us. We are not our anxious attachment. We cannot earn love. We cannot perform enough for love. This is not how it works, and that is great news. We just have to love. Love from others and love from ourselves. We do not have to buy into all of our own brain, mind, drama, self-belief, stories from our anxious attachment brain about what we have to do and who we have to be loved. We are already worthy of love right now. We are already loved exactly as we are. We can slowly heal our need to people please or people manipulate by knowing we are valued even when we make mistakes, even when we miscommunicate, even when we are not perfect, even when we are not performing. We are valued, we are loved, and love from ourselves and love from others does not have to be easily broken or fragile. We don't have to make everything mean we are not good enough. As children, we learn to people please, to scan the room's faces because we didn't want to be or feel emotionally abandoned. So we wanted to be what others needed us to be. We had the belief that connection is fragile, which adds layers to our people-pleasing tendencies, which, as you can tell, are connected to several of these different belief systems. Putting our partners first and other people's needs before our own. Not wanting to talk about the hard things. Avoiding and going hyper-independent. It especially shows up in how we solve or don't solve relationship conflicts. We see conflicts as stomach ulcers instead of hiccups. We see it as a call to action and danger rather than something that is normal, natural, and a part of every relationship. So now we have beliefs like connection is fragile. It can easily be broken. I can't make any mistakes. I have to always be perfect. My partner has to always be perfect. My partner can never make mistakes. If they do, they don't love me. If I do, I don't love them. Nervous system response. Mistakes, problems create fear in our body. Major danger signal in our brain. Living on the edge or fear of rejection. Fear of abandonment. Fear of being seen. Because being seen means being seen as our whole imperfect selves. And that just can't be seen. We have to teach our brain that we feel fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, because we have these inner self-limiting beliefs and childhood wounds that make us believe connection is easily broken. The fear feels real and needs to be processed, but the thoughts and beliefs creating this fear are not true. We work with this belief by believing a new belief. Love is not fragile. Connection is not fragile. It is not easily broken by misunderstandings. Miscommunications are all a part of the process. Love and connection can endure. I can be seen and loved. When we have these beliefs and we practice these beliefs, our nervous system has a different response. Our bodies learn that fear is not a death signal. Fear is just an uncomfortable sensation in our body. When we feel fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, they are just sensations. They are not actually happening, and we can self-soothe and know we are safe. Our body and our brain learn to believe that connection can endure conflicts and problems. They do not have to mean the end of the relationship. As someone who has done this work, who coaches clients on this work, I honestly do believe that you do not need your partner to do anything for you to feel better, for you to be able to heal these wounds. I honestly do believe that you have all you need to take back your brain from anxious attachment. By doing all this inner work, awareness, compassion, practicing the pause, processing your emotions, following the tips and tools on this podcast will help you learn how to do this work on your own. And if you are in a healthy relationship with someone who does want to grow on this journey with you, while you do this inner work, while you develop secure self-love, unconditional self-regard, there are ways that they can support you through this process. The more you learn about your anxious attachment and feel comfortable sharing it with your partner, you can teach them what is happening in your body and in your brain when you get anxious, like when you get triggered. They can learn that your reactions to problems or conflicts or misunderstandings or that unexpected reaction are not a reflection of you and your relationship with them. It is not about how you feel about them, the doubts you have or not doubts you have about your love for them or their love for you. Really, it's about a lot of unlearning the stories of your anxious attachment brain and childhood wounds. They can support you by learning your needs during conflict may look different than theirs. You may need a word that reassures you that you are both still loved. You may need space to process your emotions, not because you're punishing them or withdrawing your connection, but because you love them so much, you want to regulate before moving forward. They can support you by offering some kind of reassurance during conflict that allows you to engage in the pause, the comfort needed to start the self-regulation. We can do it on our own, and sometimes it feels easier for our anxiously attached brain to have a little signal that says, I still love you. We are safe in this argument. Our connection can endure this misunderstanding because it creates the safety that our brain is seeking. Now remember, if your partner is not willing or does not know how to do it, these are things you can say to yourself. We still love each other. We are safe in this argument. Our connection can endure this misunderstanding. Because at the end of this podcast, I still believe you can do this on your own. But if your partner is willing to learn and support you through this process, it can be helpful to a triggered nervous system. To summarize, childhood inconsistencies with our parents manifest in adults as fear of abandonment, difficulty trusting partners, overthinking everything, strong emotional reactions, and choosing familiar dynamics, aka chasing that emotionally unavailable person. Because our brain develops certain beliefs about love and connection, and our nervous system develops certain patterns to survive during our childhood. So what does our inner child need? Our brains and nervous systems as adults need consistency, emotional attunement, space to feel our feelings, secure self-worth, unconditional self-love. It needs safety before independence. Learning how to hold space for our emotions before we self-regulate. The compassion before the regulation. Our inner child needs us to practice loving ourselves unconditionally. Seeing and valuing ourselves, a sense of self-regard that is shame-free and compassionate. Reassuring and nurturing. Our inner child needs to know we have our own back no matter what. We will always come back with love and support that we need from other people. We will give it to ourselves. We need to learn how to communicate our needs and wants and desires clearly. We need to learn that it's okay to feel what we need and what we want. We need to learn how to experience boundaries with gentleness instead of feeling guilty or abandoned for us giving boundaries or receiving boundaries. Our inner child needs us to be there for ourselves during the discomfort and to feel worthy of love exactly as we are now. Not one day, not someday, not when you have this anxious attachment thing all figured out, but now, today. Hear me when I say, I know it feels scary right now to work on all of these new beliefs. I know it does. It feels scary to hope that these beliefs are real and true. I will believe for you until you can, but know they are real and they are true. You are worthy now. You are able to be seen now and loved. Connection can endure. Relationships can endure conflict. Life is hard. Relationships are hard. Learning how to do all these things in new, healthy ways will feel hard for your brain. Learning a new habit will feel hard. Rewiring your brain, rewriting your belief stories and your brain stories is not supposed to be or feel easy. It is hard. Hard does not mean it's not working, though, or that you don't want it. Our brain only wants three things: to increase pleasure, decrease pain, and be efficient. So, as anxiously attached people, our current patterns are predictable. They are efficient. They are what our brain knows how to react to and process. So our brain believes it's easier, it is less painful the way you are currently doing it. You have to do the hard work of knowing it is okay that it is hard. It is okay that your brain is resisting these new beliefs. That is literally what it's wired to do. And you can still change it. Resistance doesn't mean stop. It means keep going. You can rewire all of it. It just takes time and true practice. It is not always easy, but it is always worth it. This work has changed my life, and it is changing my client's life, and it will change yours. If you are ready to do this work, email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com and set up your free 1-hour consultation. Before our consultation, I will send you a quick consultation survey for you to fill out. This shows me what you want to work on and helps me prepare the program that is best for you. In our 1-hour consultation, I ask you questions about where you are now and where you want to be, and then we create a 12-week program for getting you there. Yes, 12 sessions. Rewiring anxious brain patterns takes time and consistency, and you will see it is worth it. I am your life coach. I am not a judge. I am not here to judge my clients. I will not judge you. I am team you, team future you. I am here to help you get the life that you want. Life coaching is about seeing you now and showing you who you can be. I tell my clients, it's like we are both sitting on the couch together and your brain is on the table under a magnifying glass, and we are both scientists uncovering the brain wirings that are stopping you from having the life that you want. And together we develop new thoughts, new beliefs, heal past wounds and wirings so that you can have the life you want. If you have any questions or if you have anything you want me to talk about on the podcast, email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. I would gladly answer your questions and do a whole podcast series on the questions that you guys have. If you don't have my Anxious Attachment Free Calming Guide, get it. Go to the show notes. It's linked in there. Also in the show notes, you will find all of the links you need to get in touch with me. You can also find me on Instagram at Anxious Attachment Solution. Before we close, I would really appreciate it if you could subscribe, like, and rate this podcast. And if you have time, can you please write a review? That is how it reaches more people, and I can help more women go from anxious to secure when we share and rate and like the podcast. So if you have someone in your life who would benefit from this podcast, this is your sign to send it to them. I hope you all have a great day, and I will see you next week. Thank you for joining me today. You are going to want my free guide on how to calm your anxious attachment. So head over to my Instagram, Taking Back Her Brain, and grab it. If this podcast resonated with you, I would really appreciate if you would rate and share it. If you have any questions or want to know more about how to work with me, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. Can't wait to hear from you.